Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and for strength. Thank you, Lord, for the roof being all sorted out and the walls too, especially whenever we have that very bad weather. And we pray you, Lord, for all of those that are not here today. Pray for Frank and him being over in London. For Will and Norman and Steve and Pat and John as well. And pray especially for Christine and Mary Ann at this time, that you would watch over them and keep them. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we had to gather together yesterday and make the offer of salvation to the souls involved in the gate pride. And Lord, I pray that those words would not return unto you, Lord. We love you and praise you and pray for your good hand on each one of us. And we ask all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we will start with number 16. Just thought that was a good one. We need the Lord to lift us over puddles and troubles and all of those things. Number 16 in the Black Book, that is He Lifted Me. I hope the winter is not as bad as the summer. I think we will come to church with shovels and we will have to dig our way in through the door. Hymn number 240 is The Lily of the Valley. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing. You'll have to forgive my voice, it's a bit croaky today after speaking at the Gay Pride outreach yesterday. Switching or swapping, but not swapping. We're going to turn to John chapter 3 this morning for our Bible reading. John chapter 3, there are 36 verses in it. It will not take very long to get through these. It was much on my mind yesterday as we were reading and bringing the gospel out just around the corner from Lane. Did you get my message that I parked right beside your car? I didn't even realize it was your car until one of the men was getting out and I said, "Don't hit that car with your door," and I stood up and I saw the white roof. It's a blue man. That's Lane's car. You better not hit that car. I kept one side safe for a few hours. So there you go. We're in John chapter 3, probably one of the, certainly contains the most famous verses, but one of the best chapters of the Bible for reasons to get. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, but no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have ever eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, Man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom that standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that received his testimony hath set to his seed that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. Thank you for that. That reminds me of the very last verse in Revelation 20, where it says, for all the stuff that people do, if you're not saved, you're not going to hell. Thank you for your good attention there. Just want to remind everybody of a prayer list. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add? Pray for our absent brethren this morning. Anybody got anything they'd like to add? All good. I don't know. I will have to check with Norman. So please do. Norman's sister, Edith, her heartbeat, I think at one point, was very fast. And they gave her a lot of medication, and her heart rate went right down to 40 BPM. And so she's ended up in hospital 3 times over the last 2 months. And I think she was in intensive care last I heard, which was Friday. So we would appreciate your prayers for Edith. For John McGowan and John McMahon. And for Christine and Marianne. For Will and please pray for Pat and Steve, whatever it is that they're up to, and each other. I think that's it. How's about a private prayer request look like? Okay, we'll talk for the rest. Any thanks?
It came around for a
little bit. Recovered from jet lag. Is there a lot of people say there is a way to avoid jet lag? Do you know of any? Sleep can be avoided. So I will speak to Dr. Shannon. Your recipe for getting over jet lag. I think it just happened. Anyway. Okay. I don't think there's anything else. Oh, yeah, thanks for no trouble. Amen. I'll have a quick prayer and then let's sing another song. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for your many helps and blessings. And Lord, for this time, you see the weather has quietened down a little bit out there, but pray, Lord, that people would drive safely. And Father, that there would be no trouble because of that excess. I pray that you would be one of our number here this morning, that you would be with us, and that you would put your good hand upon all those that are not here, Lord, and speak to each one of them individually. With Stan and the folks up in Bangor, Ed and Joe Kessick and folks in Campbell County. Glenn Wilkinson and Jonathan Campbell. And Father, I pray you please that you would be with all those that love you and preach in the full counsel of your word. That you would bless and keep those that bless and honor your people and your word. And that you would oppose those, Lord, that hate Israel and curse them. And Father, I pray that it would be evident and visible to the world as a whole. Just what's going on. We know, Lord, that we're having trouble with our government here, just as America is having trouble with their government in America, in Canada the same, and many of the European countries, as many of them lean towards communism, Lord, and not the kind that keeps countries running, but the kind that just picks on certain parts of society, namely us, But I pray you, Lord, please, for a divine preservation and perseverance for each one of us this day. Please help us, Lord, as the week goes on. And please bless the remainder of the service. And most importantly, Lord, we pray for your well-being. We love you and thank you. And please, Lord, for all the times that we have spoken to people about you and told them about the great things you've done for us, I pray, Lord, that the words would stick with you. Leave these things at your feet, Father, and pray them all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to sing another hymn. I think we are in the... we're going to the wee bit first. Sorry. Yep, I'm getting my timing and walking up right. Hymn number 29. Number 29 in the wee black book. Is precious Lord, take my hand, and we will remain seated for that.
Jesus, the Master.
Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise he showed himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, but they were not far from land, but as it were about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, be my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and thou walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Thus spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also laid on his breast supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. That's where we're stopping this morning, and that very last verse is our particular text, and we're going to speak this morning about we've been called a single point of failure. So we'll have a wee prayer and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this little bit of time set aside. I pray not just for myself, but for preachers across the world that are opening your word and going to be preaching from it today, that you would bless and inspire and impart portions of wisdom, Lord, and help folks to get the good out of your work. Thank you for all your many helps and blessings, and most of all for saving our souls. And we ask these things. And we have a new word, Lord, this morning, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen. Amen. This is, as we have already mentioned, and you might have noticed if you flicked over the page, the very last chapter in the book of John. And the book of John is one of the Gospels that gives us the greatest insight into the godly nature of Jesus Christ. And this is the final words from the Apostle John about the Lord before he went up into heaven. There are a number of things that are in this part of God's Word that are not mentioned in the other gospel. Specifically, the forgiveness of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus for Peter, because Peter denied the Lord three times. And we see it's almost like squeezing a boy and allowing Peter to move on. We also see the Lord here showing the disciples again that his resurrection, his coming back from the dead, was not as a spirit, but as a real live person. The Bible says that they, of course, all dined together. Verse number 12. And as we read on, the part that is really takes that took my interest was the very last verse, after that Peter has been forgiven, and he's got this weight off his shoulders. Obviously, it was taking a lot of time, this burden of his guilt. But once that was off, his attention was on somebody else, on John. And he said, what's John going to do? And the Lord says, it doesn't matter just one jot what John is going to be doing. In fact, it doesn't matter what anybody else is going to do. Here he says, if I will that he live forever, what's that to you? If I need him to be, a multimillionaire, or a property baron, or a business magnate, or the most eloquent speaker that has ever graced the face of the earth, what is that to you? It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. The Lord says to Peter, all I need for you to do is to follow me and to depend upon me. And that will be enough to keep you occupied and busy. But more than that, as the title for the service this morning insinuates, is that the meaning or hints at, it reduces your points of failure to one, to yourself, and not, if you are to put your eyes on other people, and you are to depend upon other people to dictate what it is that you're going to do with your life, well then eventually they're going to let you down by accident or by design, and it will stop you because you're depending on a person and you're constantly watching what others are doing. But if you're keeping your eyes on the Lord and watching for what the Lord is doing, He will never let you down. And He will never compromise. The only point of failure that you'll have will be yourself. And that has never been more true than it is today. There are many examples of fine, upstanding figures. There are many instances of very famous, very important, very influential people that have let us down so completely that it sucks the air out of our lungs. It sucks the life out of us because we trusted in them, we pinned our hopes on them, and whenever they let them down, we were let, or whenever they let us down, we were stubborn. Their failure dragged us down. And so in effect, we failed because they failed. Now, one of the most notable examples, sadly, in our neck of the woods was the day, I don't know how many years ago it is now, when the Reverend Ian Paisley set aside his church calling to become the first minister of the Parliament, if that's what it is, in Northern Ireland. Which meant that he ended up spending far too much time sitting and communing with members of Sinn Féin and IRA, and that hurt a lot of people in the Free Presbyterian Church. And a lot of people were turned away from church, not because God had let them down, but because a man that they had pinned their hopes on, a man that they watched for their inspiration, because a man had let them down. Now there are many verses in the Word of God that warn us about this. Our scripture reading this morning is a direct warning from Jesus to Peter about John. Don't worry about what John's doing. Just follow me. But we'll give you a few from the Old Testament. Most famous one, of course, would be Proverbs 3, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And a warning about depending upon people for everything. Out of Jeremiah chapter 17, it says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Because that is what happens. Your heart will depart from the Lord. The Lord gave his life for each and every one of us on the cross of Calvary just about 2,000 years ago. And I am thankful that he never changes. In fact, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that he's not slack concerning his promises. In other words, if God promises something, he's going to make good on it. Whereas if we promise something, many times it has a time limit. That verse of scripture goes on, he's not slack concerning his promises, as men count slackness, but as long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hebrews 13 reminds us that Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that is why we should look to him. If we were to put all of our faith in the politics and the politicians of the day, we would be sorely disappointed. There's one prominent politician a few months ago has been arrested, or at least charged, I think, with offences against his own family. A leading politician leading the charge against, supposedly, for conservatism, and he has been caught, or at least charged, with some quite serious offences. That is why we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. If we were to look to our, if we were in America and looking to our government 4 years ago, it was quite a prosperous time for America. Everyone would be thinking it was great and they were going to heaven. But then we got the current government, which has done nothing but increase taxes and take money out of the man in the street's pocket. They would, in effect, have let us down, and many people will be quite dejected about that. And that's just the political situation. If we were to look at football players and movie stars, you see the lives that many of these people lead, even though they are set up on a pedestal, and people watch them and want to be like them, and then their lives begin to reflect the lives of their heroes, of those people they put on a pedestal and worship. And that is the way we are. And that is why it is important that we worship God, that we put God on a pedestal in our lives. We need to look to Jesus. The only thing that changes about us is maybe the gadgets in our pockets and over the years the number of grey hairs and wrinkles that we get. Because human nature has not changed since we were called up out of the ground. And likewise, our need to have God first and foremost in our life hasn't changed either. We need a great God to worship. A God that doesn't do what we say, but rather a God that has us do what he says. A God that prays. A God to obey and know that we're doing the right thing. A God to say, well, God, I'm going to do what you say and not what the world says. A God that can save us. A God that can help us. A God that can comfort us. A God that has pity upon us. That will strengthen us, a God that will give us the greatest purpose in the world, the one that Jesus, the seat that Jesus vacated in this world when he went home to heaven, and that is the seeking and the saving of lost souls. And I'm thankful that God is the same. His standards are the same, his commandments are the same, everything about God's the same, and it still works. Because the same things have been leading us astray and destroying us for generations. Summed up in the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Money, power, thrills and pleasures, and getting to the top of the pile in order and the people around. That's our downfall. That's our problem. But the same God that has sustained millions over the generations and saved millions over the generation can save and sustain you and me too. So how do we do that? How do we keep our eyes on God? And how do we become worshippers of God? First of all, we have to remember God. We have to consider God. And we need to have conversations with God. That means remembering him whenever we're in a situation where the world says one thing and he says something else, and do that. And we need to consider God in our lives and how we live our lives. And we need to talk things out with God. We need to be faithful. And that can be difficult. Following and obeying God when the rest of the world is going a different way, it can be difficult at the start. We need to listen we need to follow. Because change is always difficult. When you hand your life over to God, it comes with a certain amount of fear and trepidation and excitement. A culture shock, if you like. And many people will wonder, well, if I start to follow God, well then I'll live a different life. Just like the parable that the Lord told about the mustard seed, starts so very, very small and a lot smaller than all of the other trees, but it grows into a great herb and the birds of the air come down and just make their nests in it just like they do any other tree. It is a different life, but it is a more rewarding, a more fulfilling, a more purposeful from our point of view and from God's point of view. It's a more pleasing life when we depend upon Him. And just like a fire, you don't hold a match to a tree trunk to get it to light because it's just not going to happen. You have to start small. A lot of people say you check your pockets for the lint and the bits of fluff in your pockets. They'll always catch fire very quickly. And then you put little bits of sticks and twigs about the size of a match on the fire, and they will catch quickly too. And then you put bigger twigs, and then you put sticks and branches, and then before long you can start burning logs. That is what we need to do. We need to trust Him with the little things. Instead of reading the newspaper or checking up on your social media, you read a chapter of the Bible and see what that can do for you. It's almost like getting a dash of cold water around your face when you get up in the morning. It helps you open your eyes and chases the sleep away, and all the nerves of your fears are going, what did you just do? But that's what it's like. We need to start small. And there's nothing smaller than hearing or reading the Word of God. And then we need to be obedient. God said, get into church. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And we're suffering a bit from that this morning. Excuse me. We need to associate with others as they follow Christ, and us too, because they will encourage us, and likewise we should encourage them. There's all these little things. Leave them talk to them. And some people say, but I don't know how to talk to God. Well, talk to them. Talk to them as a child talks to their dad. Dad, I don't know very much about anything, but I just want to be around you. I want to learn. I want to be a good child. There's plenty there. And then someday, whenever you've read a few verses of Scripture, maybe you'll even remember them, you will have an opportunity to share that with somebody. Even whether they're saved or lost, to pass on the gospel or someone, or just to say with someone, isn't it amazing what God has done for us? There's so many things, but we need to bear in mind that God is the one thing in this life that will never change. It is the one thing in this life that you can depend upon when the whole world around about you is changing. In fact, it reminds me of the parable of the house built on the rock. Jesus is called the solid rock because He never changes. No matter the storms, no matter the winds or the earthquakes or whatever's going on, Jesus never changes. Jesus cannot fail. His salvation is sure. He keeps us in the palm of His hand. He made everything, even the devil, and the devil can't beat Him. He gives us plenty to think on for our minds, to feed our minds and to feed our characters. He gives us the power and the promises as we read and study and preach His word. And whenever we talk to God about everything, He gives us the peace to pass it all understanding. And many people and many organizations promise to be able to do that, but they can't. And when they fail, like I think the Jehovah's Witness or the Seventh-day Adventist feel spectacularly over the last 100 years or so when they prophesied about the return of Jesus Christ. And many of the people left Jehovah's Witnesses. They'd be doing even better if they all left and got into a Bible-preaching church. But Jesus never changes. People will fail, institutions and organizations will make wild promises, and people will believe and stick with them. You might never see a failure in this world, but whenever they step off into the next, they will see a massive failure. A massive failure in their promise of salvation not being delivered. But when you follow the Lord, He will never let you down. There are things that He has in His Word that maybe we don't like, but they are all good for us, as the Bible says. Jesus has not become our enemy simply because He tells us the truth. He has become the dearest of friends that loves us and wants the best for us, even if we don't. That would be like a child wanting McDonald's every day for every meal. And the mother and the father know that there's not one good thing in McDonald's. But yet and all, they might take them out for a treat, but they know they still need to eat their meat and potatoes and two vegetables. Jesus will never let you down. He'll always point in the right direction, and He will always help in the right direction. And the only point of failure in the relationship between the two people, between your God and Savior Jesus Christ and you, is not Jesus. It's us. We're the ones that let Him down. We are the ones that feel Him. But as long as you keep your eyes on the Lord, you will find it difficult to feel. Because He never will. And we don't have to. And that is the message that I wanted to bring to you today. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. And Mrs. Bradfield, if you wouldn't mind, we'll finish with number two in Blackfoot. Number two is the Blessed Old Book. That's the song. It just came to my mind when we were, as I was reading the last week of the sermon there, that it's about this book. Hymn number two in the wee Blackfoot. And we'll stand as we sing.
When you read it, that there's some nothing wrong with you. This glass and all work that I'm holding in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sink and be from it, that keeps me from sin.
Thank you all for a good time. God bless you. I hope you have a better day than it started out this morning. Goodness, I hope it doesn't pop up like that for the rest of the week. But we'll be dismissed for a bit. We'll have a wee prayer and then we'll be done. Thank you, Lord, for the day, for being able to get up and get out, even though the weather's awful. And I pray that you would bless us and see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. We love you and thank you, Lord. Please work on the hearts and minds and bodies. All those saved and lost. And Lord, I pray that you wouldn't be done with us. And give us a bit to do, Lord. Keep us out of all. We love you. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit.